All right, everybody, it's time for a tale of the tape, which is a style of episode. Usually, because it's like, it could be, I guess, any time, but movies, mostly movies I saw in the 80s as a child, where I saw them a bunch of times, maybe even more recently than the 80s. And then I try to remember the plot of the movie because, like, usually I can't barely remember anything. So it just tends to be very sleepy because they say, huh, what was that? And what happened there? So it's just a fun premise. Plus, this particular movie, I think, is getting rebooted or something, because the name of the movie is Top Gum Chewer. So Top Gum for short. And if you want to know why it's called Top Gun, all you have to do is picture Tom Cruise chewing gum with that big smile of his. Now, we're talking a 1980s Tom Cruise. So I don't know, like, what his hair was shorter, I think, in the 80s. This particular movie, either he was sweating a lot or his character, his hair had a sheen to it, a good sheen. I mean, for him, a good sheen. And he wore aviator sunglasses a lot because he was a jet pilot for the Navy. He chewed gum. That was just one of his things. That's one of his things in a lot of movies. But he chews gum in this movie. He's the top gum. And it's also a thing they use there to say, and this is like a different part of the Navy. You might not have heard of it except for this movie. Acrobatics, aerial acrobatics. And so this movie starts off, so I think that's everything we need to know about the setup. Oh, but I know it's getting remade or rebooted. So I think like Tom Cruise and maybe Val Kilmer. Okay, so the stars of the movie are, Anthony Edwards, Tom Cruise, Meg Ryan, Val Kilmer. This is when Tom Skerritt, Michael Ironside. After that, the dude that was in Legend of Billie Jean, Hubie something. Who else? Kelly McGillis. Was it John Stockwell, who we'll get to really quick? And even Tim Robbins was in this one. So very 80s cast. And it takes place in San Diego, I believe. Parts of the movie do. And it's about being the top gum, which is shorthand for the most the person that has the most aerial aerobatics. So the movie starts off with, this also all took place during the 80s, during the Cold War. And, I think that, I've never read an article about it, but I'm sure there's been plenty of great ones about how storytelling, the Cold War actually offered, easy stakes for your storytelling back then. Because you had, in the movies, at least in the simplistic version, a good side, good old USA, and a not good side, which would be the USSR. And again, I'm not taking sides. I'm just talking about the storytelling. And then they had stakes because you were raised, in the 80s to believe that, our way of life was dependent on our, you could see how we got here today. They said, well, if our way's not the best, then we don't have it, But so... So this movie took place through that lens, through that cultural window. And I mean, just from a storytelling perspective, it's a very simple based movie, and it used that in a very basic way. It did it very effectively, and it was a blockbuster film. Though people might have never, they say, I've never heard of that movie. Heard of another one. I said, well, I'm sorry, So the movie starts off with, who's that, John Stockwell? Now, here's a couple of things about John Stockwell. He was in a couple of movies I liked, and he was someone that never became a gigantic star, which was baffling. I also always thought George Thorogood, who's like a classic 80s rocker, or more of a, maybe not a rocker, but I always thought those two people, they were the same person. So John Stockwell was George Thorogood. Yeah, but John Stockwell was in this one cool movie that I cannot remember the name of. Maybe it was called My Science Experiment or something, where someone has a science experiment. It bends kind of time-space continuum, and he's the hero that goes back into his high school to shut the experiment down or something. And I think he was the lead in one or two other movies. But in this movie, he's just the teaser, the opening. What do they call that? They call it not a through point, set piece. That's what they call it in movies. And I don't know if this was just a Tony Scott film. I think it was just a Tony Scott film. But so it opens with a set piece of it was the Olympics. Now, I guess it would have been like this took place in the past. No, it was the Olympic. I guess it was more of an Olympic buildup because it would have been the last, not Olympic qualifying, because the U.S. was competing against the USSR in aerial, whatever that's called. And you say, Scooch, what is that, and why is the Navy involved in it? And I say, well, there's a version you hear of jet planes, but most of this takes place just like in, what's that group called, that the circus group, Cirque du Soleil. And again, this is stuff that history's just glossed over because it's not as flashy as jet planes. Yeah, but most of the stuff, when you're, you've seen it, you've got a person in mostly, ideally in a ballet-type uniform, and they're flying around on ribbons, and it can involve trapeze and all that, but it's a lot of it's artistic, it's just, gymnastics and dance and I guess whatever that other one is combined. Now, the reason the Navy's important is because the Navy would use this. Again, it just added to the stakes that it was this is the Navy's team. Now, the Navy specialized in what do they call it? These were, what do you call it when there's two people working together? I don't know what it's called, but I'm thinking of synchronized. So this was it was a little bit different than synchronized because they're not synchronized. But it was a team sport, a two-person team sport. This was again, the 80s, so they were more into the male stories. Which you'd think, this seems like a softer art. And I see, you have to have a hard body to do this soft art. So just to be clear, this is Tom Cruise's body and Anthony Edwards. Holy cow. Yeah, but so it opens up with this big, whatever the most important thing is other than the Olympics for men's aerial dancing. Oh, acrobatics. Why was I calling it aerobatics? I think that's the shorthand for it. Not to be Top Gun. Okay, so I think you're with me so far. So John Stockwell's character, whose name I forget, he everyone had a nickname. His was something like Jaguar. For some reason, I remember Tim Robbins' nickname first was Merlin, because that was just cool. I said, I wish I was Merlin. Yeah, but so, there's another dude, Barry Tubb. Is that who it is? Okay, I just thought of one other kid, the sidekick to Iceman was in a lot of movies. I don't know if his name's Barry Tubb. I think Barry Tubb might be the dude from Billie Jean. But there's one other character who's an actor whose name I should probably know. But anyway, Jaguar, whatever John Stockwell's character's name is. I don't know who his partner was. The partner didn't get a lot of screen time that I remember. He goes out there. He's the top dog. They say, okay, you're up against, just in these movies, Rocky movies, Ivan Drago, and you know, Mikhail Baryshnikov are on a team together. I know this is just imaginary. That's not really who they were against. Because the Soviet team had these, like a little bit like figure skating. They had like outfits that were also part of the show. So they also obscured their faces, which is, again, a message of like, you know, that the 80s was trying to push. I think right now I'm covering the movie in slower than real time. But so basically John Stockwell and John Stockwell's partner are up against two faceless Russians. And it's a big moment, like, and John Stockwell's the best of the best as far as the U.S. team's concerned. And he gets up there, you know, on the ribbons, on the swings, and starts doing his thing. And it's also done at the same time. Like, it's like this everybody, you have to see the movie to understand, but it's like a dance, like a dance-off in some sense, but it's an I'm not doing that on purpose. It's just like a brain trip. But so he gets up there and he decides, like, he's, you know, he's built it up too much. He has performance, you know, AX, you know, he performance concerns. And he's never had this trouble. He's been the top dog. And he says, I can't do it. Like, this is it. I'm off the team. Right in the middle of the routine. I think it was a mess, like a little bit of like the Russians kind of like they swung real close together or something. And he said, you know what, this just isn't for me, which you got to respect. He said, this is it. And everybody was in disbelief. All the coaches, all the other athletes. And that, but it also serves to show this theme of the movie. Which is one of the themes of the movie, which I think is like mind over matter in some sense, or mind over even ego, like that there's this like loose focus. If you want to be top air dancer, yeah, that's a good way, top gum, like you need to, it is a matter of not just a physical ability, not just technical ability, but an ability to push over the edge, or right up against the edge, and that he lost his edge. I think that was it. He lost his edge. And, you know, so that's how the movie starts. And then what we get next is Tom Cruise and Anthony Edwards, who forward will be known as Maverick and Goose. We see that they're like in the amateur circuit. They haven't been in the Olympic circuit. They've been in the amateur circuit. They're very flashy. And Tom Cruise is extremely confident. I mean, you've seen him smile and chew gum. Like, imagine him in his 20s doing that. I mean, it's actually enjoyable either way. But so he does that. So we just see them, and they're, like, so flashy. They're kind of, like, not Goose. Anthony Edwards' character is a little bit more of the soul, at least initially, or the heart and soul. But Tom Cruise, you know, he even shows up the coaches and the other athletes a little bit. Yeah, like, and he's always got catchphrases that I forget, turn to burn or something. And then they get back to finish their performance, and they kind of upset the, like, one of the, not the coaches, but one of the referees or something, or whatever, judges, you know, by doing, like, something comparable to where they're supposed to do a double Lindy, and they did a quad. And then they find out when they get back, they say, you guys who got called up to the, you know, you'd be normally be in trouble, but the Olympic team has an opening and the Olympics are coming. And, you know, obviously Uncle Sam doesn't want us to be embarrassed and not be the best aerial dancing, you know, air dancers in the world. You know, our ability consume things and you would be could be at risk, so we got to be the best, and they want you to, but instead of the best, I guess they want you to, And then things probably get fuzzy for me eventually. So they go to San Diego, which is like Top Gum school. So I think initially we get, and there's probably some other new classmates, maybe there's not. But then we get like an overview, Top Gum. And I think this is narrated by Michael Ironside. You know, and they say the history of the school, like a little backstory. But, you know, Top Gum was designed, you know, in the 1950s when, for, you know, we said, who's going to be, you know, the whole Olympic buildup of the Cold War. And, you know, U.S. to air dancing dominance, that's the term he uses. And they say, you know, so this is to teach all everything, even stuff, you know, we're combining techniques across the globe in this one place. You know, but the question is, can you take, you know, can you do it? Can you graduate? So it's not only an Olympic training program, but it's like you got to get through the training to be Top Gum and then make the Olympic team. I think, even though they are the Olympic, and I don't know, some of it's a little confusing. Oh, that's what it is. Like, eventually you would want to go pro, I think, is what it is. So then it gets set up a couple themes get set up. One theme is, and this will probably be out of order, but we see Tom Cruise's relationship with Tom Skerritt, who's like, I don't know what his nickname is in there, but he's like the principal. But for Tom Cruise, he's this father figure, which Tom Cruise is like, we kind of learn like Tom Cruise's edge is related to his relationship with his father a little bit and his need to prove himself. And Tom Skerritt kind of tries to take on this role of like, I care about you, which you're kind of a D-I-C-K for the most part, is what he kind of says to Maverick. Your ego's too big. Yeah, and I know you think you're the best, and maybe we could make you the best, but we'll see. So there's that. So there's that theme running through it. Then there's the theme of, there's Tom Cruise and Maverick and Goose's relationship, which is one of friendship and love, but also of, like, different stakes. Like, Tom Cruise's ego constantly impacts Goose because Goose has different stakes. He has a family, and he really needs to make it eventually to the pro league because if he doesn't, then... what would he, he wouldn't, you know what I mean? He needs some money. I mean, that's like a good way to make a living as pro air dancer. I mean, come on, look at nowadays we see it everywhere. I mean, all the constant air dancer interviews. So that's another theme. Then there's the fact of what Tom Skerritt said with his other classmates. Tom Cruise definitely has, and he's able to carry it out in a likable way, which is probably not, there's not many people capable of pulling that off, where he's kind of a superior to his classmates and a bit of a, you know, jerk or whatever. Yeah, but he also is almost the best. So, I don't know. There's kind of a little tension within the class. And then there's also the actually top student, the top performer, who is played by Val Kilmer. His name is Iceman. And his partner is like Gordo or something like that. And Iceman is known for being super cool and chill. And like precision oriented, you know, very detached and emotionless, but also plays within the rules. And he doesn't like Maverick's, not just his attitude, but that he pushes things over the edge. Iceman says, you know, I can be the best within this creative constraint, and that's what we're here to do. Also, this is like an Olympic sport. So we don't want anybody, like, spraining anything. It's just ridiculous. And he says, eventually you're going to sprain an elbow or something. And, you know, or what if Goose does? So there's this competition, which actually makes it more, you know, because you say, well, I don't think I like Iceman. He doesn't chew gum like Tom Cruise. He chews it in this more chomping, tense way, where Tom Cruise chews gum like a handsome, chill dude. And again, I think just an example of like this form of movie storytelling. So then what happens? Oh, so I'm talking about themes, I guess. What other themes? Then there's Tom Cruise versus the system, I guess, or Maverick versus system. So we see over a series of scenes in class and outside of class where Tom Cruise is I know better than even the instructors. And I understand things better than thing. And the whole purpose of the school, in a military context, is to kind of break your ego, right? And to remold you. So it does make it for another interesting small source of conflict. Yeah, then there's the love story. So Kelly McGillis, and this is like one of the more famous scenes in the movie. Like one of the first nights in town, they go off and they all go out, like a bunch of the classmates go out. And so we see them outside of their class in their dancing roles. And Tom Cruise fancies himself quite a charmer. And I mean, who are we kidding? So he sets forth to charm this person he sees there, and he sings her an Everly Brothers song. Maybe he sings it with Goose for a little while and then takes over. And we see like a romantic connection. And I don't know if it immediately translates. I think it's just like a romantic connection and flirting where, you know, Tom Cruise says, look at me chew gum. Like, come on now. And I believe Kelly McGillis's character says, you know, I got work to do. Or I got to leave. You know, I'm going home to go to bed. So I think like there's a, yeah, so I think then we learn next day that she's one of the instructors. So you say, oh boy, you know, again, it builds on the theme that Maverick just can't play by the rules. He's a Maverick. I mean, come on. And I guess Goose is a goose. We also see like training sequences where they get up in the dancing and they're dancing against the best. Like they dance against Michael Ironside. They dance against Tom Skerritt, who they have nicknames. They can't remember. Who's Jester? Did I already say Jester? Maybe one of them is Jester. Merlin is, but somebody's, but so yeah, I think maybe Tom Skerritt is Jester. And we learned that those two, Michael, if you've never seen Michael Ironside air dance, holy mackerel, look it up on YouTube or something. Because you'll be changed forever. And so we learned that Tom Cruise still has a way to go. And that he's willing to bend the rules. This kind of has played out already, but... So there's one time where they have to do a dance-off against Michael Ironside and Tom Skerritt. And, Tom Cruise and Goose, Maverick and Goose, do their dance, but they do this move that's not sanctioned by the U.S., you know, the Olympic Committee. So they bend a rule or break a rule to win, but technically they don't win. They say, well, we won because we outperformed the two of you. And they say, no, but that last swing you did, where you put your hip out, like that's an Olympic, it's not allowed within the constraints of the Olympic system. And so then they go back to, and everyone is in the locker room and they say, oh boy, we all got beat by a Jester and the Sloth or whatever. And Iceman says, not us, man. We beat them fair and square. And Tom Cruise says, we beat them too. And he goes, no, you didn't. You technically lost, and there's a reason you can't kick your hip out at that moment. You know, according to, he pulls out his Olympics air dancing manual and says, look at here. So we have all this rising tension. Then eventually, the first piece of tension to break, I think, is Tom Cruise and Kelly McGillis. They end up in a romantic situation, which I think somehow then they end up, somehow they end up in a romantic situation, which is probably the first time in life I ever saw French kissing with an actor and an actress against a silhouette. That's burned in my mind. Yeah, so they do kiss. I mean, I'll be honest with you. Yeah, also there's like a scene where, and I think this was just popular because all the dudes were shirtless and they were all in jacked up shape, but actually this is before he goes on a date with Kelly McGillis, which I think the date was at the principal's house. So we also have these scenes again where Tom Skerritt kind of says, listen, man, like, your dad was the best, but you can't keep chasing memories or something like that. Your dad was the best air dancer I've ever seen. You might be better, but you got to put your mind, you got to get your mind right. You know, but Tom Cruise just still isn't having it. There's the great volleyball scene, which is basically Iceman and Gordo or whatever decide, hey, we want to play you, Goose and Maverick, shirtless beach volleyball. And I don't think anything happened. I don't know who won, but it was just like a popular sequence. It gave me something never to attain. I said, well, if I could have one of those four bodies, everything would be great. So I don't know I don't think I could play volleyball either. Then at some other point, there's like a point with the stakes for Goose, because Meg Ryan is Goose's wife. She comes for a visit. I don't know if they had kids and the kids came, or they just talk about their kids, or they're planning on having kids. But at that moment, she's also close with Maverick. It comes out I think Meg Ryan says something, and then later Goose says something like, listen, man, you're going to get us kicked out of school if you keep messing around, which is he's gotten so many demerits or something like that. And Goose is seriously, every single, it's not you versus, if it's you versus system, I'm caught up with you in all these outside activities and, you being a hotshot, it all culminates. And then it's a slow building again to, I guess it is the a building to the graduation and the Olympics. I don't know. I guess they get a little hazy in there, but I think, yeah, there's a, so I don't know what happens first if they graduate, or there's a graduation finale or it's before the graduation. There's one of the last big performances. I think what happens is once or twice, as they're studying, they do have these, at least once they have, maybe a non-sanctioned air dance off with the USSR team. And I think that's it. So they have maybe they have two of them. So they have one, and Tom Cruise and Goose just showboat. And I think again that was that in the movie at the beginning or was it later? I don't know. But at some point they have one competition, and Tom Cruise and Goose are really good. And I think. So I don't know, there's one or two scenes throughout the movie where they're, again, going up against the USSR team. And at some point, and I don't know if it was, I guess it was probably a one with the USSR team, because that would make sense as far as stakes go. But Tom Cruise and Goose are pushing the limits, Tom Cruise just pushes things so much that Goose, overstretch or something. And that's it. Like they say, you're over this overstretch. You can't possibly perform or graduate. Like you'll never air dance again because you, you know, it's just a freak stretch. And it wasn't Tom Cruise's fault exactly, but he feels bad for it. And Goose says, this is it. I bet my whole life on being a professional air dancer. He can't even speak to Tom Cruise. He just leaves. And Tom Cruise has to face Meg Ryan, his wife, who's just devastated. She says, this is it. This was our dreams were built on air dancing. And now they're gone. Thanks a lot. And Tom Cruise is like, well, I loved Goose, you know, and I love you. And she goes, well, this is the cost. Maybe it's time for you to reflect on everything, especially the deeper message of like, you know, mind over matter or whatever, you know, dance beyond the ego. And there's also a movie or I don't know if there's how many big songs there are. There's, who's it? Kenny Loggins, I think, the famous song for the movie's Highway to the Danger Zone, riding, dancing through the danger zone. And I don't know if there's any other, once you get a hold of that ribbon, you get a taste for the air dance. You get to chewing up some gum and you put on those tight air dancing pants, and so that's kind of the lyrics of the song. It's about like the danger zone, which is what they call it when they're up there dancing on those, like swinging on those ribbons. There may have been one or two other ones, but that one, you know, you still hear it on classic radio. So, okay, where are we? So Goose is gone. Goose is no longer a student. And actually all the air dancers, they know that it was it wasn't really 100% Tom Cruise's fault, that it was just like this ribbon slipped, and that maybe it was because Tom Cruise pushes things too hard or maybe not, but they know the emotional impact of that, Goose leaving the team and Goose is, you know, it kind of being Tom Cruise was taking the feelings at least for like Goose's career being gone. And so he feels, you know, even Iceman says, listen, man, yeah, sorry, that's rough. And I think, like, that's, like, right before the Olympic trial. I think it's right before the Olympics, because then they still have to have, like, who's going to qualify. And, like, it was based on points for graduation, yeah. So Ice, like, the top gum, that team is like the top U.S. team. Then the second place team would have been on the Olympic team. Maybe the top three teams get on the Olympic team. And then maybe there's an alternate. But then Tom Cruise goes back. He has to like work with another dancer. And he's lost his mental edge. And Tom Skerritt tries to, you know, be like, you just got to get your edge back, kid. You got to be able to focus on the dance. Now, maybe this was the push, the deflation your ego needed. I don't know that he says it that on the nose, but, I mean, basically it comes down to, you know, Tom Cruise can't get it out of his mind that, and he's like, then he's also like, what if I slip? What if I never air dance again? You know, what is it? Like, he's overthinking everything. And a lot of times he says, talk to me, Goose. Now, there is something I left out that's important for the whole movie. And it's the idea of the wingman in this movie, which is so you already had these pairs, right? Tom Cruise and Goose, Iceman and Gordo, or whatever his name was, I don't know. Yeah, but then there is also this open floor competition. That's why they do pick three teams, which is like six and six, like three teams versus three teams. So that's like kind of like when Olympic gymnastics, there's also the team competition, but they don't have this. This would be like if it is Olympics gymnastics, they had a floor competition where everybody was on the floor at the same time. And the wingman, in this case, is like a team, kind of like spotters, basically. Like, so you see, so it's a secondary role, like, for the lead team. In this case, Iceman and Gordo. And, like, you're supposed to, like, you're, while they're doing a move, you're supposed to, like, run interference so that no one would, like, interrupt their line of sight and throw off their move. And so at some point in the movie, Tom Cruise and Maverick and Goose are supposed to be Iceman and Gordo's wing people. But at the same time, like, everybody's accumulating points for the team. And this, it's, they're not on the floor, you know, they're up in the air. But it's very similar, just easier metaphor to think about Olympic floor exercise in this case. So they're getting ready to do their biggest point number, Iceman and Gordo. And Tom Cruise, they say, we need our monitor or whatever, because we're going to do our, you know, quad Lindy. And Tom Cruise says, okay, we're watching. And then Tom Cruise sees, like, an opening where they could do, like, something like a triple sow cow or whatever. And he says, listen, I'm not going to watch, like, you guys can handle it on your own. We're going to do, so then we could get more points for the team. We're going to do the sow cow because there's just an opening right now. And Iceman says, that's not how it works. Like, that's not how protocol and Olympic teamwork work. There's no I in team, Maverick. But Maverick can't hear it. That's in the middle of the show. Yeah, but you never forget that, that's important. And at some point, I don't know if it's at the end of the movie. I guess it's at the very end of the movie. It pays off. Which I think we're, like, here to, like, is basically, like, it ends up at the end of the movie climaxes with, like, I mean, unless you consider that a climax with the Goose stuff, is, like, Tom Cruise and Goose, they had so many points that they either came in second or third. Iceman and Gordo came in first. I think they were top gum. Or maybe not. Maybe Maverick and Goose were so far ahead. It doesn't really matter because Goose was off the team. And Maverick's just trying to, he's just hanging on. And they say, you're graduating. And they say they moved up the Olympics or something, or they moved up the date of when our competition is. And I don't know if Maverick had so much found a rhythm with his new partner. And so what happens is, they say, well, we've got to go. Like, and they say, Maverick, are you even going to go to the Olympics? Can you even focus? And I don't know what the debate is there. And that leads to the Olympic finals, which they kind of skip over and they just kind of go into. And they say, like, all the points are tied, and this is the floor competition. And they kind of really do it in a, like, a very slow, deliberate way. So there's the three teams for the U.S. I think, like, you know, it's Iceman and Gordo and another team. I don't know which team it was. And then Tom Cruise and his new partner versus the Russians, who are, again, in there, like, you know, artistic garb, but again, it makes him kind of faceless, you know, the whole, like we said. And what happens is, like, the group four starts, and Maverick gets started, and then he goes cold. Like, he says, I can't even compete. I don't think I can even climb up my ribbons. And they say, like, they need all the points, but they also need, you know, it's like there's not, the floor spacing's all off, I guess, to the air floor in this sense. And Iceman says, we need you. And he says, never mind. Yeah, but then ends up like Iceman and Gordo are doing really good. And the other two teammates, to where it's still competitive. But then they get to a point where they have to do, you know, there's also just like an ice skating, figure skating, you have like required, you have to complete these different things, especially if you say it has to be judged on them or whatever. So they need this floor spacing to be able to complete these last things. They need their wingman. And they, like, they end up like, cause the other teams are like using blocking, like almost like picks in basketball to rack up points. And they say, again, this is it. Like, if we lose this, symbolically, we'll have lost it all for the US of A. And so Tom Cruise is like, I can't get it. You know, I can't get it. Talk to me, Goose. And then something rings true to him. He says, wait a second, it's about mind over matter. It's just about focusing, a loose focus and a joy of air dance and chewing gum. And then he starts to chew gum and it's perfect. His teeth are like chiclets almost anyway. He smiles and he gets up there with his partner. And he starts, they start to like, they start to air dance. And then it changes the floor spacing. And they actually find more floor spacing available because two of the three Soviet teams were using these blocking techniques. And I think it was hard for them, however they wrapped the ribbons around themselves, to get out of these blocking techniques. So then, you know, Maverick and his partner and Iceman and Gordo really start to shine. And it ends up that I think... I don't know who, like, ends up having to do the big, you know, quadruple, you know, combo with the toast, you know, those ones where it's like two twists in a row. Yeah, but they do, and they win the gold. And they're so good that they say, this is the first time in Olympic history that your performance outshined the other performance so much that we can't even give them a silver or a bronze. And then that dude, like, who sings that song that they play on the 4th of July, like, picnics, forgot his name, but, it, like, proud to be an air dancer, he sings. I think that maybe they imagined that part, but I'm proud to dance in the air for the U.S. of A., you know, that type of song. And then it ends with, like, Tom Cruise and Val Kilmer or Iceman saying, you could be my wingman. No, you could be my wingman every time. And I think that's it. I don't know if there was any other, like, other than them putting their, you know, getting their gold medals and chewing gum, if that's it, you know, that, yeah, I don't know if there's any other, there's, like, an epilogue or anything like that after. That's basically a movie, and I believe it was a summer blockbuster. I have no idea what year it came out. I would guess the later 80s, like maybe 88, but I don't have any idea. And it'll be interesting when it comes out again, it'll just be interesting to see. So I don't know, like, I mean, if that's this summer, next summer. Also, this is another reason I've been thinking about Top Gun is because I've been seeing the trailers for Ms. Marvel. And, it looks like the start of that kind of has this Top Gun feel. And that's just a movie I think is going to be cool. So I'm looking forward to seeing that with my daughter. But yeah, that's a little bit about the movie Top Gun. And you say, well, I thought it was like, yeah, a lot of people did think it was about chewing gum or making gum. But then, you know, you saw it and you said, well, no, it's about air dancing. And that was like also the big air dancing peaked in the 80s, where people actually thought it was cool and like started getting into it in droves. And that created the foundation for like Cirque du Soleil. I mean, I don't think anybody's ever told that story, that like without Top Gun, there wouldn't be Cirque du Soleil. And the reason, you know, they'll say, oh no, Scooch, you don't know what you're talking about, and totally unrelated. And I'd say, really, really, like, you know, well, so just picture Tom Cruise or Anthony Edwards or Tom Skerritt. You know, I prefer to think of Michael Ironside up there, you know, swinging among the stars, chewing gum. Also, probably was like an Olympic regulation. You couldn't air dance and chew gum at the same time. So I don't know how, like, I think Air Dancer, maybe there was already a movie called Air Dancer. That's why they didn't do it. They had to come up with another thing. But yeah, just another movie that was part of my life that I kind of barely remember. Top Gun.